too much to do. Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MTF number 85. We are trying to get into the swing of things after a extended winter break. Let's call it that way. My name is Patrick. I am still in Canada, but the two co-hosts are in Berlin next to one another. We have Joel and Jan. How are you guys?
Hey.
And you guys are also sharing a mic, so apologies in advance.
What's that? Sharing everything.
Yes.
Like brothers.
Joel, you were to the last game against Magdeburg, I think.
Yeah. Yes, I was.
Tell us more.
Sure. Yeah. Well, the game itself, brutal, I think we've all... if you've seen it or not or whatever, it was rough.
I saw most of it, but I wasn't paying much attention.
You know, I mean, the thing is, though, like, yeah, I was at the game, obviously, in Magdeburg. So amazing, incredible experience, as always. The AKJ people who went are just incredible, welcoming, friendly. You know, I love traveling with them. This was my fourth away game now. Mm. And I guess only third, doing it more connected with AKJ. But, you know, they're just all amazing, incredible. And I love the experience every time.
Nice.
But being in the stadium, you know, so I find from watching the game, it's all not always all that helpful, really. Especially in the guest block, you know, the flags are in the way. You know, we're more focused on singing and chanting than actually anything kind of going on. And then, of course, in the corner, you know, I think even whatever few chances there were, like, I never even saw them. Like, my reaction was to the crowd reaction because they could see it, you know?
Okay.
Because, like, that sharp angle in the corner, it just perfectly, completely blocked the net. So, it wasn't necessarily a lot to see. My only real commentary on the game itself was, felt like a lot of players were falling and slipping, obviously it happens on the field and everything, but like it just seemed like a lot of them were just slipping, like not even
the weather, like, was nice though, right?
Sorry,
the weather was nice, I think.
Yeah, it was very hot though. That was thing. It was like 27 degrees and pretty humid. So it was actually hot. Oh, and here's a report live from the guest block. Someone actually unfortunately passed out with like heat stroke. And so like the paramedics had to come up and yeah.
Jesus.
It was pretty intense. And they had to walk the lady down and out and took care of her or whatever. I mean, she seemed okay. Like, she definitely walked out of the guest block, but with support from two paramedics on mm-hmm. one on each arm. But she walked out on her own power, you know. But you could see how flushed she was.
Wow.
Because also in the game, I think you may have noticed that, like, there was they did the water breaks.
That's true.
At the 22 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, it was fucking hot, man. Like, Jesus Christ, especially like, you know, I've only been in country at that point, like a little over a week, you know, and I was leaving 10 degree weather. And so like for it to be closer to 30 with some humidity, it was intense for sure.
Wow. And what about the locals there? Like, did the Magdeburg fans give you shit, or they were cool in general?
Well, so I probably had the most exposure to Magdeburg fans themselves simply because of how things went down for me, which I can get into.
I want to hear the story, yeah.
A little bit later, but in a few moments, I can tell that part. But generally, no, because like we did roll in with the Hertha fans, like, mm-hmm. and so it was completely police controlled all the way through. all the way off the train onto special buses that had that were also like police escorted from the train station to the stadium, and Jesus. Then even walking the complete path, walking to the guest parking lot and then up to the gate was completely controlled. So you weren't allowed at all to come to leave the guest walk up at all.
Oh. Okay.
And so I would even say that's probably, I mean, again, my experience is only 4 away games, but that was the most controlled entrance and exit that I've experienced. Because like in Mainz, we just, you know, took the tram on our own accord. Like, you know, we stayed grouped up with ourselves the way we, you know, you would. Mm-hmm. But we just took the tram to ourselves and walked up to the stadium to ourselves. And yeah, of course we walk into the guest entrance, but you know, there was mixing there. And even in Nuremberg was basically the same thing. We were on our, you know, we got to the stadium on our own, and arrived, you know, like that. But this one was, like I said, like buses were waiting for us at the train station, you know, and they were all, like I said, just the amount of police was just like, as a Canadian, like Renee was with me in Magdeburg. She arrived with me in Magdeburg, and she commented that like she has never seen that many police outside of the G7 when it was in Toronto.
Holy shit.
You know, and I mean, yeah, I agree with her, right? Because, like, we're just not used to that level of police presence.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've seen, like, definitely dozens and dozens of cops at the Oli, like, at some mm-hmm. big matches, like, when we played Red Bullshit and some other teams. Like, I've seen, you know, loads and loads of cops on the platform, blocking the platforms, doing stuff like that. But yeah, this was like that level, but like, you know, in Magdeburg, obviously. And then even on the return trip, it was the same special train, which was kind of nice. So we didn't have to wait for like the specific RE, whatever. Mm-hmm. But there was like at least a dozen cops per wagon on the train, on the return trip home. But so I wasn't sure if the cops were working or if they were like, even just going home in a way,
okay.
Because like they were just standing, but they were at every door entrance, at every door to the train, there was mm-hmm. at least 5 or 6 cops.
Cops on the train are usually what used to be the border patrol. It's called Bundespolizei now, and they are responsible for everything that's traffic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I guess because we're crossing state lines, right?
Well, it doesn't matter in Germany that much. It's just,
oh no, okay, I don't know. Okay.
No, but it's cops on the train always have to be Bundespolizei and not Saxony. What was it called? Saxony.
Sachsen-Anhalt.
Yeah, Saxon stopover.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
Okay, but like Jan, you probably know this. Usually against Magdeburg, how's the vibe?
How's the vibe?
Yeah.
It's okay. But one thing, last season, I think the TV mics are really close to the loudspeakers for the ultra block of Magdeburg. And the guy, and I just saw some stuff. You know, the Hertha does these video blogs
mm-hmm.
By this one guy. And he walked past the box and was like, Magdeburg. And the guy was getting really hoarse, so like, ah! It sounded bad on TV.
Nice.
But back to the game itself, before I talk about anything else about Magdeburg, also the yellow cards, man, he's like, buddy was giving out yellow cards I was like, what the hell's going on here, bro? Like, like did the ref just like, you know, wake up in his home in Magdeburg and just walk to the stadium, I assume? Because like, how many yellow cards did we get that match?
I'm looking that up right now.
Me too.
Okay. Well. Because, I mean, I was just like, what is going on? And then I think they got one eventually, like, or something. But basically the two only things I noticed in the game was the amount of yellow cards.
Nice. 4-2.
And 4-2. I felt like players were falling.
Okay. 6 in total.
7. I have 7.
7? Okay.
She went to the ticker, but maybe Spielinfo is more reliable.
Wow. Okay. Jesus.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You're right.
Okay. And I mean, sir, every yellow card we got, I remember there was a gentleman beside me in the guest block who just kept screaming, Schauspieler, every time. I mean, to be honest, I just got a pretty good kick out of that.
Steh auf, du Arschloch.
Yes. So, is there anything to play for until the end of the season?
No, there wasn't, even before, not even in Magnum. There hasn't been.
There's not because they don't seem to have anything like honor or something like that. But I really want to hear the story how it came that he was able, that Joel got into the guest block, because the guest block always sells out within 5 seconds.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, oh, I guess it's, I was going to say long story short, but I guess it's a podcast. So I guess the entire point is to tell the long story.
I grew up.
So, yeah. So anyway, Renee and I, our plan the whole time was for our family to go, right? The uh-huh. three of us, me, uh-huh. Renee, and our baby. So as Jan mentioned, the tickets sold out immediately through the Magdeburg website themselves, and then the Hertha, like the Hertha of like away blog, gone instantly. And I was actually able to go on with the time change at an okay time to actually try and go when like the hour that they were meant to be go on sale. So long story short, I didn't get official tickets through Magdeburg or Hertha, and because there were a couple tickets available in the Magdeburg, but they're very bad. And I was like, I don't know. We'll see what else I can do. And so I actually, I'd used StubHub before to go to a Bayern match, mm-hmm. right? And that worked no problem. Got my tickets through StubHub, and you know, StubHub tries to famously claim, you know, like they guarantee 100% of their orders or whatever. And it's like, okay, so like, and like I said, I had only one experience with them, but it worked, you know. So I thought, okay, well, I'll StubHub some better tickets, and I actually just StubHub a couple tickets that were in the section beside the guest block. So I was like, well, at least, you know, we would be mm-hmm. beside and have seats, because like obviously we have the baby, we want to be seated, you know, all yeah. that kind of stuff. But we also didn't feel like we needed to be in the family block, kind of like shoot away over in the other corner and like away from the other. We wanted to be a little closer to the guest block, so
away from the weed.
And so so that's what I did. I had a couple StubHub tickets. All right. Okay. I think that's fine. So the three of us travel to Magdeburg, but we're traveling with the, you know, the Hertha fans, the AKJ. Actually, it was beautiful. Cause again, little piece of the story, the, you know, through the app, a few people got on, earlier at Erkner or even Ostbahnhof or whatever. I think they got on Erkner actually, which is the beginning, and they reserved a bunch of seats in one of the wagons for us. So like a group of them kind of split up, and then they just messaged the group telling us like, okay, we're in the first wagon that has two levels, and we're in the upper level, you know.
Nice.
Okay, so like so Renee and I, we got on at Alexanderplatz, and there they were, and so we were able to sit down with people already, even though the train was already getting pretty full. And so that was nice, you know, like that was really decent. Anyway, so we had a nice seat. It's a two-hour ride on the RE1 to Magdeburg, which is also right now our closest rival, like in the BL2. So it's the closest away game a Berliner can currently attend.
I didn't know that.
Until Wolfsburg comes down.
Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's why it was some heavy travel too, you know. People were trying to get there. So we're on our train, we go.
I would say it's 2 hours. On the regional train, the government doesn't go very fast, so.
Yeah. There's 17 stops or something, you know, like.
Okay.
Because you stop, what, even alone, like 6 times in Berlin. You know, and then it's like Potsdam, Brandenburg City, whatever. Anyway, you know, I'm not fucking DB.
I think it's an hour on the ICE. ICD.
Yeah. Well, because also, because we are here longer, we had our Deutschland tickets, so mm-hmm. we're also obviously just not going to. Anyway. So mm-hmm. we're on the train, we get there. So because we're on the train with the Hertha fans though, we got off. I guess we could have stayed on and rode the train to the Hauptbahnhof, like Magdeburg Hauptbahnhof, but there's a stop that is closer to the stadium, the Herrenkrugs Bahnhof. Anyway, it's one or two stops before the Hauptbahnhof. That's where you should get off as a football fan. So that, and we just followed all of our AKJ friends off the train. So that's when we all got like kettlebelled into our you know, city buses, and then police escorted, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, so we're walking along, and like I said, we're in the heavily controlled area, and then there's a path that would go another way to the stadium and not to the actual guest gate. And so, but there are police blocking it. But my friend, one of our friend, Anne, with AKJ, she knew that we didn't have guest tickets. So she's like, I think you have to go this way now. And I was like, okay. And so I explained it to the car. And also to be fair, we didn't bring any gear. Like we weren't wearing our Herta stuff because we knew we weren't in the guest block.
Yeah, that's cool. Herrenkrug.
Yeah. So Herrenkrug is the stop.
For next season.
For next, yeah. And, so we actually had to talk to the cops twice because they actually asked to see my ticket to confirm that I didn't have guest tickets, you know. And even the cop indicated like no Herta, like no, can't wear Herta. Like we're like, yeah. And then we were wearing blue and white, which is fine for Magdeburg because they're also blue and white. So that was the one thing we're like, okay, well, we can at least wear blue and white. We get past the first level of cops. Okay, fine. And then there's another level of cops with a fixed gate where they actually like, well, we can't, like they physically can't even open the gate. They're like, so like you have to either jump over it or whatever, but they would let us through. They're like, you can go through if you want. But then Renee's carrying this baby, right? Like on her chest. And so they were like, I don't know. Anyway, Renee slipped through the fence, no problem. I climbed over, I threw the baby over. Well, we were going to do a pass around thing, whatever. But Renee was able to kind of slip under, no problem. And again, those were the cops. They checked my tickets to make sure I had non-guest tickets. So I was like, okay. Anyway, so now we're actually mixing with the Magdeburg fans, right? So now we're in there. I don't know. And so to answer your initial question, in the sense way back of like, oh, like how are they? I don't know. They seem fine. They didn't, you know, they didn't bother us. We didn't bother them. We're not looking for attention. Obviously, like I said, we weren't wearing anything Herta. We're not causing a scene either, right? So we make our way around the stadium. I to go to into our block. I try scanning the tickets that I have, are from StubHub, and they get like, yeah. So the ticket got red, like, you know, like on the turnstile turns red. And then the security is like, you know, saying something to me in German, of course. I'm like, what? Like, we don't know. Like, they're like, no, no good. And then they explained a little better that I had to go to the clearing. They called it the clearing.
Clearing point.
Clearing point. German, yeah.
Word, clearing point.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what they're, and then they had to explain to me like the info, ticket info. And I was like, okay. So then we had to walk all the way around back, okay, to the front or main entrance area. Did that, start talking to them. And yeah, so basically, like, they're just like, they asked me, oh, where did you get the tickets? Da, da, da. I told them. They're like, okay, no problem. And they start checking a list or something. And she's like, yeah, we don't see it on this list. I don't think that I don't really understand what's going on totally. Anyway, they eventually call an actual ticketing agent. He comes, he explains, yeah, of course, they're like black market tickets and StubHub is an unauthorized seller. And so it's like, yeah. And so they're saying, yeah, the club canceled those tickets when they know, I don't know how they realized they were, you know, not.
Usually they scan them and if they see them online, then they can tell from the picture where the seats are, they canceled.
Yeah. Okay. So and I think that's the thing, because I actually think StubHub was doing something to potentially hide that fact, because I knew what seats I bought, but on the messaging that they kept sending me, it didn't indicate the row and seat, even though like we had a row and seat and we knew which one, and they were on the actual PDF ticket of which they would have sent us, but they kept sending us information without that information. So I'm wondering if that was like a bit of a thing to try and block or prevent canceling. Anyway, the tickets were canceled. And I'm like, okay. And then they asked me to fill out a form. They're like, and it was voluntary, but they're like, if you give us your information and the information about your tickets, we'll sell you two tickets.
So you would have to pay twice?
Well, so, I mean, Basically, yes. So I'll continue on a little bit more.
Yeah, please.
But yeah, so my tickets from StubHub canceled. Done. I'm like, okay. And now they're offering to sell me two tickets, but standing tickets only. And we said, okay. And then so Renee and I even knew when we bought the StubHub tickets, we weren't 100% sure, you know, in a sense. So we kind of discussed what we might do or what could happen. Anyway, make this part of the story short, is that I bought a standing home away ticket because they would sell us standing tickets only, home or away. They didn't care. They didn't specify. They just said, well, we can only sell you standing tickets. And where would you like them or whatever? He was kind of thinking home at first, but then Renee and I just had a quick discussion amongst ourselves to figure out what we were going to do. We obviously didn't want to bring the baby into the standing section of either away or home. So at that point, unfortunately, you know, like Renee also insisted that I should stay. We'd already made the journey, you know, we were with some friends, AKJ people. And so we decided that I would buy a standing ticket for myself. And then, but I was able in the ticket booth to just say away. They're like, oh, you want to sign a ticket? I said, yeah. And I said, but can it be in the away section? And they said, yeah, no problem. And so they sold me the away ticket right then and there. And for the price, it was the standing ticket was only 20 euro.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, right then.
They're 15.
No, it's fine. I just gave them 20 euro, boom. cash, boom, okay. Done. And so like, and that was it. That's how I got in by myself. But then the next part is brutal because the info guys, like, because now I'm in the home section though, right? Yeah. And the away section is so cordoned off and blocked off that it's like, okay, like it's difficult. So the ticket info people tell me to go around a certain way. I'm like, okay, I go. I'm walking around half around the stadium again, trying to get back into the controlled guest zone so I can be with the Hertha fans. Basically, I went through an open fence to an open construction site.
I checked through a toilet.
And I'm like, I'm having to walk along through all this like construction site, dirt, everything under scaffolding. I'm getting through and I'm like almost there at the guest parking lot. And I'm like, okay, because the alternative was way blocked off and I couldn't see another way through. So that's why I went through this construction site. Anyway, I reach a gate, a locked gate. And I was like, oh my God, now I'm, but I'm like also right there. Like it's a locked gate that is now to the guest parking lot, which will just bring me right to the guest entrance.
Okay.
But fortunately, there were still some fans lingering around. A really tall, nice guy. I believe his name was Marcus. I think it started with an M. He was with a friend named Martin as well. They appeared to be a couple ultras. But he saw me kind of struggling with the fence, and without even saying a word, this man ran over to the fence and literally pried it open because it was only closed by like a bike lock type of chain.
Okay,
right. And so he just stretched that fence open as wide as he could. And I got my head through and I just kind of fell through and he helped me out and pulled me through that fence and was just like, yeah. And we didn't even speak a word to each other until I came out of the other side of that fence.
Wow.
And even then afterwards we got talking and he was very excited to find out that I was a member of the club from Canada. He was all blown away. He started sharing me his booze with me as we walked up to the gate and he also even actually made sure that I wasn't alone too. He's like, oh, are you all alone? Like, and I was like, no, I'm looking for my AKJ friends, you know? And once he kind of realized what, like, I was like, oh, okay, I am with like a group because I mean, he didn't actually invite me along, but I assume he was going to kind of invite me along to be with him in a sense. Cause like he seemed a little worried for a second that I was just going to be by myself or whatever.
Okay.
And so, yeah, anyway, that was my experience of getting in. And yeah, after that, you know, whatever, tapped the ticket, works, no problem. Got into the game and yeah, had a blast.
Nice.
It has to be said that while the guy was trying to help him, everything slowed down and went da 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 da. I don't know the name of the song.
Chariots of Fire.
Or maybe the Rocky theme, I don't know.
Okay.
So he was from Berlin?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Was he from somewhere else?
No, no, he was a billionaire. Yeah, him and his buddy, Martin. I remember his buddy's name, who actually never specifically said a word to me. But
thank you, Martin and Marcus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Marcus, Max, Marcus. Yeah, anyway.
That's good. Max, Marcus, Martin.
Solidarity between fans. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was really nice. Like, I thought that was like, you know, he ran over. He wasn't even close. I didn't wave him down. You know what I mean? He just saw me trying to get through this fence and ran beeline to me and just pulled it open. Like, but clearly that fence was more for blocking cars, right? Like people. So that's why there was a gap, you know, because if anyone knows me and has seen me, you know,
you're like, tiny.
The gap in the fence needs to be, you know, not a rabbit hole, right? Yeah, well, you know, try to eat a little better, you know.
So
I haven't had anything to eat yet. All I had was 2 coffees and 2 ayran.
Well, just don't pass out, please.
That's some yogurt and fruit, I think. That's about it.
So, yeah, we are, the club is on the beach until the end of the season. We are 6th.
Right next to the beach.
All right. I was going to say,
it kind of feels like, you know, like, it's like the end of the NHL season and the players just want to get to the golf links.
Yes.
You know, like back in the day for the Habs, my buddy and I used to always say, Max patio ready. You know, like, because like those last few games when they weren't making the playoffs, it's just, okay, Patches, like you're not, you're patio ready.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Okay,
not so this year, though, obviously.
Quick aside, were you able to watch Game 7 against Tampa Bay?
Not a single game, no.
Okay.
They're like, because also, prime time, right, 3 a.m.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's true.
So, I'm like, because actually, I asked Rebecca about if there would be a good bar, NHL bar or something, mm-hmm. that we could catch some games at, and she's just like not really, and mainly because of the time, right? Because like a game that starts at 3 or a game that starts at 1, because even the afternoon games are at 9 for in this time zone, never the good game that's the 3 p.m. afternoon game.
Yeah. Like, that's true.
That wasn't going to be Game 7 Tampa Montreal Saturday at 3, you know?
It was like I watched Games 6 and 7. Montreal lost Game 6 1-0 in overtime. And I was like, okay, they're done. Like, you know, Tampa has too much experience, playoff experience. They're going to run them over for Game 7. And somehow, well, I mean, you know, like, I think they had the fewest shots on goal for a winning team in playoff history. I think it finished like 26-9.
Yeah.
And they won 2-1.
It was exactly 9. And I remember that because I heard the best joke I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
And it was like, I don't want to butcher it, but it was something like, what's the difference between 50 Cent and the Tampa Bay Lightning? Oh. And it's that 50 Cent survived 9 shots.
Nice.
Damn. I don't even know what you're talking about. I think it's funny.
Oh, it's good. Well, and now, like from now on, okay, so they're going to play Buffalo in the second round. Like right now, they are playing with house money, you know? Anything that happens is a bonus.
I think that's a crazy series too. Like, that's good. Like, Buffalo, Montreal, like, that's like, I think those two barns are just going to go crazy. Like, it's like two of the craziest barns in the show. So it's just like, I can't even imagine. Like,
and Buffalo was bad for so long. It's going to be something special.
I think, yeah. I mean, I won't be able to watch it too much, but
is it the Canadians versus the Sabres?
Yes.
Yeah. 10 points.
I've never seen a second of NHL in my life.
Rebecca would be so proud of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Happy vacation.
Yes. So, okay, back to Erta. We can talk quickly about like current events, if you like. I've heard that there was sort of a, maybe not a rift, but maybe some kind of conflict between Reza and Lytle. Is there anything to see there, or it's just, you know, some bitset bullshit?
I don't know.
I saw someone comment, I think this was a Noram comment, but they were starting kind of feeling that like it was just sort of, you know, like kind of amp making mountains out of molehills sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because I forget who commented this, but they explained it more as like, yes, Lytle was like coming down hard on a couple of players and Reza was just more defending himself a little more and like maybe defending himself quite vehemently. And you know, and I mean, I don't know, like, and maybe you know, works a little different here, but I feel like that would, like, if I compare it to NHL, you know, like, yeah, I think sometimes the players yell back at the coach, you know, so like, yeah. I don't think it's that crazy. I don't think it's this huge rift per se. Like, and I mean,
some heat of the moment thing probably. Yeah.
I mean, why wouldn't you defend yourself? You know what I mean? If like, if my, like, even right now, hell, I'm just a fucking public servant. But if my manager, you know, has shit to say about me, I fucking, you know, I'll yell in his face
wanna
and go? Defend myself. You know,
fuck go, your buddy. Drop the gloves like, in the, you know, I mean, in the meeting room. Like a madman.
I just had a vision of Joel taking off his suit and then being in like a lucha libre. Let's go, buddy.
Let's go, motherfucker. So,
fucking powder of you.
Speaking of Reza, do you think they're gonna sell him this off season? Or
I hope so.
Okay. Joel, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Will they? I mean, maybe too, right? Yeah.
He didn't have a good season.
Money, yeah, no. Season wasn't great. And money for us could be good. So maybe if it could be a good offer, you know, not against that per se. You know, I did say in the chat, like, I don't hate Asa the way other people do, have hate for him, you know? And just simply like, cause like, I don't know, like, I don't blame a young man, for, you know, pumping himself up and, or a little bit and trying to be a bit of the star of the show. Like, he's a professional athlete. Like, I don't have a fucking problem with that. And maybe that's a bit of like my North American mindset, like, you know, and we do, you know, for us, sports are quite a bit more business-like, I would argue, you know, so like, I don't have an issue with Reza the way people do about his social medias and the way he reacts to things. Like, sometimes I even feel that like that's how a star of a team should kind of react, you know, like, so for obviously it's just my side of it. Like, yeah, I like him. I like him as a part of the club. So like, you know, I'd like to see him stay if we can make that work. But, you know, we just never know the truth of it either. Cause like, yeah, he does, like, you know, it is a bit cheesy, you know, some of his, like, you know, like his Berlin stuff and what, but
that's true.
So, you know, like, I get it.
He dialed it down a little bit, though, to his credit.
Yeah. And I mean, thankfully so, because after a season like this, like, you can't act the way you were acting, you know, if you're going to play what you just played in the season.
Absolutely.
The question is, does he want to leave? Because there's not many clubs in the Bundesliga. Okay, they offer him better competition and maybe more money, but they don't offer him the stuff he has in Berlin. I mean, if he goes to
the exposure.
If he goes to what is a small town, I don't know, Augsburg. Some other club, would they give him the opportunity to be a coach in the whatever stupid new league they come up with? You know? There's so much, and I think he really likes his living situation. And his wife his girlfriend's into fashion, so he would probably not move to Hoffenheim or something like that.
Yeah. And I don't think Bayern's trying to pick him up either, you know? So
no, he's too young for Bayern.
Yeah, I mean, I also agree with that, like, in that sense, like, you know, we obviously don't know him, right? Obviously, but it does seem like he, you know, he does relish the attention and stuff. So does he want to go play for like a mid-level BL1 club or even low-level BL1 club and sort of be this kind of middle guy in a middle city, you know? Like, I think he likes being the star player in the capital city, yeah, regardless of us, you know, obviously we're BL2 right now, but...
I think Augsburg is mentioned a lot. If you would go
I've heard that,
and shit like that, which we don't care about, you know. But we don't care.
I mean, Augsburg could. I mean, in the sense, like,
have you been to Augsburg?
I have. Yeah, I've been to Augsburg.
It's a village.
I stayed one night there once.
Also, you're an expert.
Yeah, exactly. Genau. I mean, you know.
Genau. Oh.
I see.
He's watching the rules I'm sending him. Genau.
Give him a passport. Give him a German passport, you know.
Genau.
Pass that test.
Maybe I can steal it from Mike, you know.
Oh, yeah.
His brand new one.
Congratulations to Mike, who just got Germanized.
Yes, congratulations.
Really?
Our native friend. Ahoy.
Okay.
He remembers. Yeah. No, he's... Mike is the husband of my ex-roommate, Heidi. They still live in the apartment we used to live in together. And of course, he doesn't want to go back to the US. He's from LA.
Mm.
So his only problem was getting the German test done. And I think there might also be a general test where you have to know shit about German history. Because I helped my friend from Syria study for it once. It's pretty easy if you just went to high school or know that it's not that hard, but you know, history, nothing happened in Germany between 33 and 35. We were all just picking flowers. And now he passed the German test and now they can't deport him anymore because he's German now.
Nice.
And Heidi gave him sandals and white socks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah. Pure integration complete. Nice.
I would have bought him a pillow. You know how retired people always look out the window and they need a pillow for the windowsill so they can look out and yell at other people.
Das ist aber eine Einbahnstraße.
Oh, God. Okay. All right.
Are you in a better mood now?
Well, yes. Yeah. There was something of a tech issue before we started recording, but everything should turn out okay. I also saw another story from BZ. Apologies. Apparently, the main sponsor doesn't pay AFTA anymore.
I saw it yesterday, yeah.
So we were even wondering if that story was true at some point, but apparently it is. Is it more like some bullshit that's not worth mentioning, or is there like...
It's a big deal, and thank you to Spotify.
They paid for 6.5 million for 3 seasons, I think.
Yeah, I think that was the total. It was supposed to go to 2027, but then like the missing amount is right now is only 1.something million for the last season or for 6 months.
Well, only.
I mean, only out of the six, you know. But I don't know. I've only just heard a little bit about this too. So like, what is it? Is it like the sponsor is in default, like they can't afford to make the payments, or is it that they're like refusing to make the payments, or
I don't know.
Okay, yeah,
let me check. They talked about it on the group chat,
but yeah, because that was my question. I was like, is it because they don't want to pay us anymore, or is it because they can't, or
it happened before and we had a sleeve sponsor also. Mm-hmm. And they were the main sponsor of KSC. And I think they had to go to court to try to get their money because they just stopped paying.
I didn't even know the same company could sponsor two teams.
No, it's main and sleeve.
Yeah, but still, you know.
Yeah, it's but you kind know, they have to make room for all the betting companies, you know.
Yes, but like it's like not a conflict of interests, but you know what I mean. It's a bit odd. So while you look it up, Jan, if you want,
6 months they haven't paid for 6 months, but I think Hertha wants to get out anyway, and I think the business practices of Czech cars are not as clean as they seem to be.
Okay.
But it's not the first time something like that happened. So I would really put the question to Sport 5. What are they doing for job? Because this is ridiculous. Have to do your due diligence if you're in charge of marketing a club and then you fuck up like this and it's not the first time.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Fuck's sake, man. You're amateur.
Yeah, that applies so much, so well.
If you could tattoo that, you would have it on your forehead, right?
Yeah.
Damn, man, you're amateur.
Yeah, fuck's sake, man, you're
like
amateur.
Like a headband.
Hopefully we get the money more than,
I mean, if they're in default, we don't get the money at all.
Yeah, fair.
Because they have other creditors who
are
more in need of that money.
I have two other... not stories, but questions. If
no
you
anagrams.
Like. No anagrams. Okay. Yeah, because we didn't sign anyone, so you know there is nothing to work with for now. The next question was: there was a members' assembly a few weeks ago, and I think Weber and someone else stayed in place, and people are not happy about it. Am I misremembering or?
I mean, there's no connection between Weber and the members' meeting because the members' meeting has no jurisdiction about the KGAA. Because the KGAA is the pro team, and this is the MV of the eingetragener Verein, the Hertha e.V., and they can only decide who is on the board and who is on the advisory board. And there was an advisory board election.
Okay.
And for the first time, the advisory board election included that but I think I mentioned that when I was talking to Simon on the pod. So the first time the person with the most votes becomes the chairman or woman of the advisory board. Because in the past, one guy didn't get the most votes, but then he somehow weaseled himself to be the head of, and he was the guy who... you have to be neutral if you're on the advisory board. So all you do is you advise and you control what the board is doing. And he made a public, he said something on the on the election, and he said which candidate people should vote for before Kai was voted in.
Wow. Okay.
And he got shit for it. I think he was embattled right after that, and now at some point he just quit.
What's his name?
Oh, fuck.
asking the hard questions.
I just know that he came from Potsdam-Babelsberg, and then Babelsberg people controlled us. We somehow talked to them, and they said, oh, please, run away.
Jesus. Okay.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, I mean, the name would probably ring a bell if you mentioned him, but you know, that's fine.
Of course, and after he was ousted because nobody voted for him, and then he quit, he had a big it said interview, you know.
Of course.
Yeah.
doesn't surprise me. The other question I had is maybe. You know, maybe we should wait until the end of the season for that, but you know, whatever.
It's basically over.
Yeah.
Yes. <You said. laughs> So, like, I know that people, you know, talk about the Belinovic and all that, you know, develop young talent and all that. But I also know that playing those young players will, you know, definitely cost you a couple of points along the way, you know, throughout the season. And I was just wondering how it would be, or if, just a sec, Jan, or if it's possible to, like, do that and aim for promotion at the same time. You know, like, are both objectives compatible? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my question, and I don't have an answer.
Klaus Brüggemann was the name.
Okay.
What was your question again? Sorry, I was.
Oh my God! What the
fuck? No, okay. I'll summarize it. Is it possible if your objective is, you know, go and follow the Berliner Weg and get promotion? Are those two objectives compatible?
Of course.
Yeah. Because like if you play young players, you're gonna lose. They're gonna cost you a few points along the way throughout the season.
But they're gonna make you money, which you would use for buying older players, who will be the vets who help the young guys make it.
But it might cost you promotion.
I mean, it didn't cost us promotion this year.
Wow.
That's enough. Everybody's crying about we're gonna lose value. What value?
No, that's not what I was.
I know yeah, but
that's not what I meant.
Your question is if a developing young talent and being promoted are exclusive.
Yes,
and I said no.
Okay,
because it's a. I mean, it's
glad we could settle that.
I think 99% of all Bundesliga clubs have this model. They play young players. They sell them to buy.
Oh yeah, but something. Like. Some clubs focus on that more than others.
Yeah, we have to. We have nothing.
Well, yes.
Yeah, I guess that's true too.
You know, we need promotion for the, you know, to stabilize our finances, I guess.
Yeah.
So that brings...
No. We're stabilized now, but if we got promoted, it would help us rebuild financially sooner.
Yes.
I talked to the finance guy last game.
Okay. So how, like, how can I say, how optimistic did he sound overall?
I mean, he's been in the business, so he's optimistic, but you know, he's been in the game. It was a Paderborn years before, so he doesn't know when to shut up and when to say something.
Okay. Yeah. But he played it close
thing
is, to
the first
vest.
Thing he, the first thing he said, yeah. I'm the guy. I'm saving the money. You know, because before there was a slight waste of funds at some point at Hertha with the 374 million.
Mm-hmm.
They burned, incinerated.
Yeah. Do we know who's coming down yet?
Heidenheim and probably Wolfsburg.
That's possible, yes.
Mm.
That would be quite a bit of a shock. But okay, so then, kind of related to the previous question, I don't know what he wants to do, but I know that several teams are already quite interested in Eichhorn. Mm. If we could convince him to stay one more year, that would be amazing. But I don't know if he would go for that. Any thoughts on that, or? Or, you know, we can say bye-bye already. There is no way he's staying, or?
I think he still hasn't done not even his Abitur, but the one before that.
Okay.
But then you could argue that they don't really care about that. I mean, it would probably help him to stay for another year, probably. Mm-hmm. But then the level when he entered and how good he was, he's just, people keep saying that Leitl plays young players. He had to play him because he was so much better than everybody else. I think he was the most talented player we've had in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so good. I mean, he's 16, came on like he was 35 and was his final season. Amazing. I think that, I mean, the talk is that he's going. And of course, it's not going to be a very high with transfer
amount. Yeah.
But. I mean, on the other hand, people keep complaining about how little money you get, but then do you give a 15-year-old such and such? Yeah. And then on the other hand, maybe if you're asking for a fixed transfer money, transfer whatever amount.
Yeah, a release clause or something.
Yeah, then of course, if it's too high, the player doesn't want to do it because it might hamper his career.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I don't really know.
Like, what do you think?
I think he's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope he doesn't go to the really, really big names or like a mid thing, you know? Not Madrid, not PSG.
Or Bayern.
Or maybe Arsenal. Oh. How are they doing, by the way?
Well, things are looking up, actually.
Jinx.
Yes. Yeah, probably. Like, you know, if you asked me that like 10 days ago, I would have said, yeah, we're fucked. But they played great against Fulham. Saka is back and, you know, doing quite well. They
he
won yesterday.
The goal, right?
I'm sorry? Yes.
He scored the sole goal?
Yeah, the winning goal. And if no one gets injured, jinx again. It's cautiously optimistic, more than 2 weeks ago, let's say.
That must have been a terrifying one, though. Yesterday, 1-0, sitting there, 1-0, just knowing if they score once, you're cooked.
Well, I mean, the previous match was 1-1 in Madrid.
Oh,
so,
okay. So it would have pushed. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's because they got rid of the away goal rule.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
They don't do that anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, it would have been like two halves of 15 minutes and then penalties. That would have been horrible.
Who would you rather face?
In the final? Oh, yeah. I think... It seems like Bayern would be a better match against Arsenal. Like players wise, but you know PSG has so much depth. They could, you know, they have like, you know, five or six players that can be that could score. But on the other hand, I would hate to see Harry Kane win the Champions League against. I don't know. But like, honestly, if you asked me which one would I choose between winning the league and the Champions League, I say winning the league.
Okay.
That would be sweeter. Like, you know, Champions League would be amazing. And I was in Barcelona when they lost in 2006 against, I was in Marbella, sorry, when they lost against Barcelona in 2006. And I had to like walk my way through million assholes wearing Barcelona gear and celebrating. I'm still shocked to this day that I didn't get in a fist fight. Oh God! Anyway, 20 years ago.
Oh Jesus Christ! That's terrifying.
Yeah, yeah, man, we are. Yeah, no one gets out alive, you know? Ah, shit. Anyway, yes.
Any more questions?
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions on your agenda?
Okay, so let's see. We will go back to this in a couple of weeks, but we know that Demme is officially gone.
Thank God.
Yeah, I agree.
Arbeitszeitbetrug.
And, Brooks is gone for probably. Sure.
Maybe if he's lucky, they give him a job at the academy or something like that. Maybe it's unfortunate, you know? We got shitloads of money for him from Wolfsburg, which was just way too much. I don't know. I think Tils was really good at fucking people over. You know, in negotiations, I mean. Because... we got like 17 million or something. It was really
something like that. Yeah.
A lot. Or 15. Yeah. And then he came back. So he made us money. Then he came back and think everyone was happy. And then it was just a freak. You know, you break something on your first practice.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredibly unlucky.
And he played
unlucky.
30 seconds, which lost us a game. But I think I saw his Instagram. He's kind of like branding, doing stuff. There's some documentary or something going on. I just see it. When I'm trying to procure a lot of the rings reels to send to Joel, I saw that. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, it's just it's very unfortunate. And I think it's not like, it's a bit like with Khedira, that you don't want to have your career end in Hoffenheim while being injured, you know?
Yeah. In a way, you would like to jump before you're pushed.
Yeah.
Or who said that you have, ideally, you should decide that you're done with football before football decides
it's done with you? I think it says you have to leave football before football leaves you.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it Ori? He mentioned it once. I saw him say it, but I think it's a popular saying.
I thought, wasn't it Jamie Carragher who said
could
that?
Be.
Anyway, it's still true. So who else do you think is gone for sure?
I think Reza.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you later why. and I think Eichhorn, you cannot keep Eichhorn. I really hope that we can keep Bobo.
Okay.
Cuisance had a really shitty season.
True.
But then on the other hand, he's defending, you know, even though he plays like shit. I mean, he used to be quite the diva, and now he's, I think something clicked at some point. I think maybe when he was playing for, wasn't he at Osnabrück on a loan from Venezia?
That's possible. I mean, he was hot shit at Bayern for a second.
But it's a very, very small segment.
Yes.
I mean, he won the Champions League, but never saw the pitch.
Yes. Yeah, I think he got like a, he matured, you know, so good for him. But you're right that, I mean,
I think Gechter will be gone, unfortunately.
Woof. Okay.
Yeah.
Who's left?
Tony is probably signing for another year.
I heard that.
But I hope they tell him that he's not gonna play unless there's nobody left with 2 feet. I mean, he's way too slow for the style of football. I mean, he's way too slow, period. But he's way too slow for the style of football they want to play now, because you have to be standing high up to get the... Mm-hmm. Push through to be a good counterattacking team.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And I'm not sure about Dade. What's his name? Maton?
I think he's gone. Was it like I read something that, you know, he was the last Dade left, and he is going.
The question is where you read it, you know, because
yes, and that was a couple of weeks ago, so. You know, things can change. But it's not over yet. But
Brekalo will stay, because there was some clause. Nobody knows exactly, but there was one: if he gets this many starts or mm-hmm. more than 10 minutes, he's going, I think he's automatically saved, which is a really good thing, because mm-hmm. he's like the only real winger we got. Could that be?
That's quite possible. And what about Kovnatsky? Yeah.
Absolutely wasted season. He's way back. I mean, he scored like 15 goals at Fortuna Düsseldorf last season or the season before. It says there in talks, but who knows?
And, it's not over yet, but
Ernst. We'll probably move on.
Oh, yes. And
That's part of the Berliner Weg.
That will be tough.
I mean,
he will be tough to replace.
Yeah, they did a great.
Yeah.
But we have
Gersbeck?
Tim Goller. Oh, Gersbeck. Gersbeck is only good for bar fights. No. No, but.
Fair.
I mean, I know Gersbeck was an average Zweite Bundesliga keeper, and they got him back because they had a buyback option for 400,000 euros, which was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Back from Preetz times. I think he sold him in 2014 or something. There was after 10 years or something, you could take him back. I don't know exactly how it went, but yeah. But Tim Goller's really good. He's currently in the Regionalliga. And he was out almost all last season with a shoulder injury that took quite a long time. He's good.
How old is he?
Oh, 19 or something. He's about the same age as... Ibu Maza was. That's his.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So who would be, and that's what I've been trying to ask, who would be right now your player of the season?
Oh, my favorite player of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Elfie Wellhausen.
On the men's side. don't try and, you know, dodge your way out of this question. On the men's side, who would be your player of the season?
I like Gechter.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he's... No, I remember when we loaned him out to Zweite Bundesliga years ago. Because I think he played all of a sudden because we had nobody at the back. And then he scored on a header. And then he was gone for a year. And then... I like Gechter. Not Prese. And Schuler also. Schuler's great, but he, mm-hmm. you know.
Can be, right?
He's the guy that makes you pull out your hair if you have some, you know?
No, I get it.
I mean, seriously, I don't even know who's on the team. Okay, Ernst had a great season.
Yeah.
Yes.
But... if you have to say that your favorite player of the season is your goalkeeper,
yeah,
that says a lot about everything else.
Yes, absolutely.
It's tough.
Absolutely. So,
It's tough all around.
I still have a soft spot for, Jeremy Dudziak.
Mm.
I mean, he was allowed to keep himself fit on the under-23s. Because he has this injury history, and but Leite likes him. And then sometimes in the winter, he was able to have an audition to go back on the pros. And he did that. He played a couple of games for the under-23s, and then he came back and scored a goal and an assist. And I still think he's one of the best players we have on the squad, if it wasn't for his injuries, because he's really good, really fast.
Mm-hmm.
I like his podcast.
A goal and assist, that's more than what we've done in the last, four matches?
Oh, fuck. Don't get me started. We have four games, one goal from open play, 1 point.
Yeah.
Let's keep Lytle. He's doing a good job.
Well, yeah, that's... that will be another...
Having been at now the last two out of those four, they didn't seem that bad. I mean, we lost them both, but like, just as a fan in the building, it didn't seem like even the who do we play? Who
Kiel?
Kiel, yeah, Kiel.
Mm-hmm. Was a good game.
Yeah, like that was like, I remember feeling that first half we were laying it on so thick, like it actually felt like we were gonna win. Like I like that first half was like we were in control. We were constantly seemingly on the attack. Like I was like, oh, this is nice. This is good. No, I think there was a disallowed goal or a two. Yeah. So like, you know, there was kind of, oh yeah, the first one happened in within like 30 seconds or a minute.
It was the offside.
Yeah.
Brekalo's goal. And then you had the penalty that was called off.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. That's right. It wasn't a goal. It was the penalty. But they, yeah, in my head, I'm like, I counted it as a goal for sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess those two things kind of happened that, but even that first, called offside goal, VAR. Apparently it was like crazy close again. VAR just sort of, you know, but again, in the stadium, you never fucking know. So I was going to check the group chat to be like, what's going on in front of my eyes? Can someone from North America please inform me about what I'm watching? Like, it's like so ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that match, like it felt good. Like I thought we were going to like win. And I mean, like how often are we watching Hertha and you feel like we're going to win? You know, when it's like 0-0, like we're not in the lead 5-0, like
once a year,
you know, so it felt good. Like, and then, yeah, the second half, they weren't quite as strong. We didn't have the level of control, it seemed, and it kind of fell apart, you know, and then even Magdeburg didn't feel so bad or so off, but then, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, against Kiel, we had like a 2 point something XG, and against MacBook, we had 0.0001 of
them. We had like 7 or 8 corners against their like 1 or 2 as well. And it's like, but you can't score off a set piece. You know? So like, fuck. Like, that's, and I mean, that's something I've been complaining about since I've been a fucking Herta fan, as far as I'm concerned. Like,
that's 55 true. Years now. Okay, my favorite player of the season, Bobo Loom. When he finally came in, was, I don't know what team it was. It was, the score was tied, and he gets the ball in the end. He plays the pass. He makes sure that Martin Winkler scores the game winner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's really good. I don't know what these guys have done, especially what's the midfielder number 5? Leon Jensen or, mm-hmm. or Gröning. I don't know what if they stole from him or something, because they don't get any chance.
All right. So, yeah, I think that covers it pretty much. I don't have any other questions. We didn't ask about listener questions either.
I think Steve was still asleep, so I didn't even.
Steve!
Like, listeners, what are those? who are they?
Well, you know, if they are out there, thank you.
Yeah, true. Yes.
But yes. So that covers it.
And hopefully we should be back sometime after the first match or so.
Next week, yeah.
We'll see. Or
Simon will be in town. Joel is in town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. We'll try and have a full house. It should be fun.
And you and me, we're going to iron out the technical problems before that.
Oh, no, I'm okay now. I'm in a better mood now. But, no, I know that, you know, long story short, it was Ultra Schall, and, you know, it did seem promising, but it really sucks that it's so... limited to one specific version of Reaper
yeah,
updates,
but it's very
all the
intricate
time.
So you can't just, you know.
So, you know, but yeah,
we'll figure something out.
Yeah, we'll be okay.
Max asking, how ho hey.
If you guys can hear us, that means we worked it out.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay. Thank you guys. Thank you, listeners. And until next time. R-O-A.
R-O-B-S-A.
Yes.
Have a good morning.
Yes.
I'll pick up my kid.
Yes. All right. Cheers.
Hi, my name is Salomon Kalou, and keep listening to the Dalmatian Football Podcast.
Oh, off his head. Oh,